Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes.
My special guest today is Kathy Flickinger, the Chief Information Officer of the Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration. Kathy, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me.
Well, let's start with some basics. The mission of HRSA, or the Health Resources and Services Administration. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, we are an agency of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and we are the primary federal agency charged with improving access to healthcare services for people who are uninsured, isolated, or medically vulnerable. So basically, how do we accomplish that? Well, we provide leadership and financial support, mostly as grants, to healthcare providers in every state and U.S. territory. Specifically, our grantees provide affordable healthcare to tens of millions of Americans who are uninsured. They may be living in rural areas that have limited access to care, those living with HIV/AIDS, pregnant women, mothers, children. Additionally, our grantees train health professionals and support scholarship and loan repayment programs at colleges and universities. But in addition to grants, we also coordinate the recruitment and retention of health professionals in underserved areas. We oversee organ, bone marrow, and cord blood donation, and we maintain databases that protect against healthcare malpractice, wage, fraud, and abuse. So needless to say, we do a lot, and we play a critical role in the overall mission of HHS. And I guess I would invite folks to visit us at HRSA.gov.
Excellent. Well, we will definitely link up your website to our story on federalnewsradio.com. Makes things easy for people to come find. All right, sounds like a very, very broad mission. So a lot of different pieces moving around. Let's talk about your role as the Chief Information Officer. How do you really support such a broad mission?
I wear two hats. One as Chief Information Officer, where I have a seat at the senior leadership table, and I'm responsible for sort of the governance and reporting on an IT investment portfolio of over $100 million. The other hat I wear is being the director of the Office of Information Technology, where I oversee a staff that works very hard to link the requirements of our program and our mission with the IT resources that best meets their needs, or where we serve in an advisory investment control position to programs who have specific needs and their own resources and the capacity to take a project and run with it. But day to day, it is my responsibility to ensure that the infrastructure and commodity technologies are available to all HRSA staff, basically from the data center to the desktop. So you could say I'm responsible for keeping the agency operational, secure, and compliant.
When you look at your day, how would you break it up? Are you 50-50 in that operations and strategy, or are you in a, how would you put the ratio?
That's interesting. It kind of depends on the day. Certainly, I probably the majority of most of my days is dealing with my staff and the Office of Information Technology. But there are plenty of times when I'm talking to downtown, I'm talking to the department CIO, I'm dealing with the IT portfolio and capital planning side of things, and I've got to reach out to all my folks in the agency. So it's a combination. It's hard to say. Every day could be different.
Well, that's always nice. A nice little variety keeps you interested. Now, we're going to get to your background in a little bit, but tell me a little bit about first, do you prefer one over the other? Are you more of a strategy person? Or are you more of a get-your-hands-dirty type person?
Well, you know, I grew up in the program and the mission of HHS, so I guess you could say I'm more of a mission person. So I'm in more to the operations of IT reaching the mission. Although lately, and I guess as a CIO, and I get, that's my Office of Information Technology hat, but certainly I've been a CIO for a while, and I kind of enjoy the strategy, too. So I can't answer that either way. I like both. And I think it's an advantage for me as a CIO to be able to do both.
When I talk to CIOs and the more people I talk to, if they understand the mission, they're able to apply the IT more strategically. And coming from your mission side, as you said, I think that does give you a fairly big benefit.
Absolutely.
In terms of your staff, and are you guys spread out across the country? Do you have smaller offices throughout the U.S., or are you mostly centered here in the Washington, D.C. area?
HRSA has about 1,800 employees. About 1,600, I think, are central office, and we have another a little over 200 that are out in the regional offices, the 10 HHS regional offices. I have one or two staff that are out there, but mostly we're all here in central office.
From your staff's perspective, you guys are supporting pretty centralized in terms of the IT support, and then you kind of have people who can go out to sites if need be?
Well, actually, when it comes to the regional offices, while we do some things for our regional office staff, since we are co-located with other HHS optives out in the regional office, we have another organization that sort of handles that for a number of different agencies out in the regional office. My main mission is to make sure that the central office is up and operating.
All right, and with 1,600 employees, it probably keeps you busy enough, I would imagine.
It does. It absolutely does.
Well, let's discuss a little bit about the makeup of your specific office. How many federal employees do you have? How many contractors do you have? And what was your IT budget for 2011?
The Office of Information Technology is comprised of 6 divisions and 1 staff office. And my 6 divisions are responsible for things like IT capital planning, enterprise architecture, project management, data and information services, enterprise solutions, application development, network operations, help desk and technical support, web support, collaboration services. And my 1 staff office oversees our critical security program. I currently have 83 full-time employees and approximately 50 on-site contractors with another about 150 off-site contractors that support our operations. Let's see, in 2011, I had direct oversight of a budget of about $29 million. And again, the overall HRSA IT portfolio budget in 2011 was about $106 million.
When it comes to that $106 million, you don't have necessarily direct oversight, but you probably have some strategic, some input over it?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, being the CIO, I'm responsible for the governance and reporting on the whole IT investment portfolio. So yes, either from a security perspective or a capital planning perspective, I have oversight in those other investments.
And it sounds like your ratio between your full-time employees and your contractors, both on and off-site, is pretty clear. It's just over 2-to-1, which is, when I've compared to other CIOs around the government, most are 4 and 5 to 1. Are you pretty happy with that ratio?
I am. It has me really keeping my fingers on the pulse, let's put it that way.
All right, as a CIO, you better.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you'll get yourself in a little bit of trouble. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk some more. We'll get into some specifics about your priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Kathy Flickinger, the CIO of the Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
The 2012 Leukemia Ball toasts 25 years of making a difference on Saturday, March 31st at the Washington Convention Center. For its silver anniversary, the 2012 Leukemia Ball will feature performances by legendary classic rock band Foreigner and comedian Sinbad, along with dinner, dancing, the Mercedes-Benz raffle, and a world-class silent auction with travel packages from American Airlines. There are more than 19,000 people in the D.C. metro region living with leukemia, lymphoma, or myeloma. Help the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society cure blood cancer by attending the area's largest one-night non-political black tie gala. They're celebrating 25 years of service, and you're invited.
To purchase a ticket, please call 703-399-2900, 703-399-2900, or visit www.leukemiaball.org. You don't want to miss this great event.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Kathy Flickinger, the Health Resources and Services Administration's Chief Information Officer. Now, Kathy, before break, we talked a little bit about your office, how you're set up, your IT budget, and your oversight areas. Let's talk about what you're doing with some of that money. What are your priorities over the next 6 to 9 months?
Well, I guess like other CIOs today in government, I have my challenges or opportunities in FY12. We've got multiple OMB directives and president's campaigns to cut waste and promote efficient spending. So our priority and what we're working on is completing our HSPD-12 requirement for the mandatory use of personal identity verification, or the PIV card. We've completed it for federal staff. And up next is for us to roll out the exclusive use of the PIV credentials for remote access, and we plan to do that by fully implementing a PIV-enabled VPN solution by March, followed by requiring the use of PIV credentials for our contractors, and we're looking at a June deadline on that. We're We're also working very closely with the HHS CIO on the implementation of the new CIO authority. So that's the eliminating duplication in our investments, looking, well, especially in the area of commodity IT, looking at where we can have shared services opportunities and develop a more robust security program. Security never goes away. It's our constant. And we're always looking to, one of the big pushes from OMB, of course, is this improvement of continuous monitoring efforts. We do manage here in HRSA an incident response center that provides us with 24/7 protection and detection against security incidents. So we're sort of calling this initiative our continuous improvement of our continuous monitoring efforts. Additionally, we're going to look to improve our program management, overall governance of our IT portfolio. But I have a unique challenge as a CIO that other folks are not facing, and that is trying to work and maintain uninterrupted IT operations and support in a building while it undergoes major renovation. We're in the Park Lawn building in Rockville, and we're going to spend the next 3 years going through a major renovation here. Basically, the building's going to be beautiful when it's done, but as you can imagine, that's huge challenges for an IT operation, especially when I'm trying to run a data center, keep AC going, keep power going. We have the constant movement of employees and offices, so I've got to worry about cables being cut and making sure there's connectivity, reduced office space. So what this has done for my offices is pushed us into high gear in supporting the increased need to telework and establishing hotel space for staff. Currently, 50% of HRSA staff have formal telework agreements, well supported by our senior leadership, which makes this a very successful for us. So a priority over the next few months for me and my staff, along with our VPN solution, remote access VPN solution, will be rolling out laptop docking stations that are 4G capable. And this will allow our staff to be mobile, agile, as well as secure. And it also serves to cut down on the number of IT devices that are assigned to employees as part of the president's executive order, thereby basically facilitating the use of a single device for working at multiple locations. And we plan to reach 50% of our workforce with this technology by the end of the fiscal year. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, the major things that we're going to be working on.
All right, you're going to be busy, I can tell you that
yes,
much.
Yes, we are going to be busy.
Well, let me start with the very beginning of your priorities. You talked about HSPD-12, one of my favorite subjects to talk about. Now, obviously, there's a requirement for agencies really to get to use their HSPD-12 cards for logical access.
Correct.
Give me a sense of what you're doing between now and March to get that VPN up and running, and then how are you going to meet the other deadline for logical access, or maybe you already have?
As I mentioned, we've already met it for federal staff, and we're going to be working on the remote access side of it. So we are piloting. We've already done a pilot on our VPN, and we're going to be rolling it out for sure in March. We currently have another remote access capability. We're going to keep two up. I really don't want to mention products at the moment. And so we'll have that going in March where you'll have to use your PIV card, whether you're in home, and we'll be rolling out card readers for folks to take home. And then basically by June, we're sort of following the HHS plan of the phased approach, and we'll be looking at making sure our contractors are required to use their PIV credentials to get in by June.
So you said you have a couple pilots going on. Is the pilot also using your HSPD-12 cards?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, and how's it been going so far? I know you don't want to mention products, which is fine, but can you give me a sense how many people? Have you had some challenges? Is it working fairly well?
Challenges. We even had the challenges when we rolled out in December the use of the federal staff for exclusive access to the network. And there's always challenges. But we have a great technical staff and a great help desk, and we just kind of have to touch each guy one by one. What we do normally is, in like with the VPN solution, we test it first within the Office of Information Technology. So we're kind of working through that right now. You do it with my own staff. And then we get a few executives to test it out for us because they're our biggest critics sometimes. And so, because I want to make sure that their staff are getting what they need. So we're getting there.
I know you got to get the executive staff worked out first, because
yes,
if you can make them happy, everything else kind of flows from there.
That's exactly right.
Now, the other thing you mentioned was working with the HHS CIO around CIO authorities, eliminating duplication, shared services opportunities. Give me a little sense of what you're looking there. How early are you in the process? Have you already picked out maybe two or three low-hanging shared services fruits that you can kind of jump into?
The interesting thing about the shared services strategy is I've been doing it for many years, actually. Many years ago, when we had to go through that sort of forced march of consolidation, I went to my big sister, NIH, and I buy services from them. So we get our email from them, we get some firewall services from them, and we actually get our help desk services from them. So we're doing some of that. I am on the HHS ITARB, which is the Information Technology Review Board, in which we are taking a look at, you know, all the investments in the department, and we're now seeing where we can actually, you know, go to each other and try to buy services.
So if you guys have jumped into the shared services pool, is there other areas you could see yourself going into in the next, again, year or so?
Sure. As a matter of fact, we're hoping that we can offer some of the services to our sister Optiv.
The other thing you talked about was continuous monitoring. I find it very interesting that HRSA has a, if you will, an incident response center. You guys aren't a huge agency, and sometimes you think about, when you think about sub-agencies within an agency like HHS, everything gets kind of floated back up to the top, and there's one maybe for the entire department. Give me a sense of that incident response center. How long has it been around?
I think we've had it established probably for about 5 or 6 years now. And, you know, we run our own small data center, and so it's important for us to not only protect our current network, but we've got to protect the rest of HHS as well, you know, upstream and downstream. So we've got quite a lot of tools. We work very closely with the department on this because we sort of link back to their response center. And, again, it firewalls, intrusion detection, you know, software patches, we do all those kinds of things in this. So we've got about three full-time folks who monitor this, and it's worked very well for us.
The move to continuous monitoring, are you guys feel like you've already met at least, if not all of that requirement, at least you're pretty far into it?
I don't think we ever meet the requirement for security. It's like the elusive butterfly. It's continuous. You have to kind of keep things going. And what I like that I'm seeing with the federal government right now is it's sort of getting away from all that paperwork kind of stuff, and we're really doing really good things that make sense, and sort of maintaining that ongoing awareness and really putting more tools in place to ensure that we are protected. So it's really, we're moving in the right direction, but we're never there. It's constant. We're continuing to improve.
And I know that's one of the biggest things about security is that, as you said, you're never done.
Since we're all on one HHS network, we do affect each other if something happens. So it's really important that we maintain this center.
I want to just jump real quick into the last issue you talked about, which was a project and program management and improving that. A lot of agencies are starting to look at, do I need to set up my own project management office that deals with specific projects? When you went through kind of all the different organizations or offices within your office, the CIO's office, a couple of things stood out. For instance, data and information services, application development, web support, collaboration services. I know some of that's supported by contractors, but it seems like there's probably a lot of programs and projects that also need program and project management support. Have you guys decided to set up kind of your own specific program management office, or how does that work in terms of how are you improving your program and project management?
We do have a division of capital planning, architecture, and project management in which we fully support IT investment managers. We basically provide either a program management office help, or we help them set up their own. Certainly, we're running through all the IT governance and portfolio management pieces, and we provide training, which is critical to basically our agency staff in order for them to either run their own program office or we help them do it.
I think that's key. What I'm seeing from other CIOs around the government is this idea of you just can't say to a project or a program, okay, do it right, and you know, we're here to support your IT. You got to almost give them that help.
No, we hold their hands if they need it. We've got some really good staff out there since we've implemented a really good training program to make them all certified in FACT PPM and project management. So we're at level 3 on our majors, and we're doing all the right stuff, I think. So we're trying to support our folks.
Well, excellent. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about your biggest challenge or your most unique challenge of office space renovation. But first, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Kathy Flickinger, the Chief Information Officer of the Health and Human Services Department's Health Resources and Services Administration.
Did you know that more than 80,000 people in our area have lupus? Join the Lupus Foundation of America, D.C., Maryland, Virginia chapter on Saturday, April 21st at 9 a.m. for its 6th annual Walk for Lupus Now on Pennsylvania Avenue. All proceeds support free services for people with lupus, a life-threatening disease with no known cure. For more information or to register, please visit www.dclupuswalk.org. That's dclupuswalk.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Kathy Flickinger, the Chief Information Officer of the Health Resources and Services Administration. Now, Kathy, before break, we were talking a lot about your priorities, and one of your big priorities was making sure IT stays up and running and meeting mission goals as your building goes through the renovation. Now, we were talking just a little bit during break about how cloud fits into that. So give me a sense of that connection.
We recognized that this was coming since we knew that the building renovation was going to be part of our landscape here, so to speak. We knew we needed to have a offsite backup disaster and recovery area. So we're utilizing a private cloud right now to make sure that essential services like HRSA Web and application services are sitting there. And we're looking to even expand that by offering more virtualized production components of mission critical systems. But for right now, one of the critical things that we recognized was the need to keep HRSA.gov up. So that is actually running in production in the cloud, and we actually back it up here in the building. So we've moved a lot of stuff, so you could say we are deploying infrastructure as a service out there in the cloud.
Why is it so critical to keep HRSA.gov up and you put that in production versus maybe some of the other ones that you put in backup sites?
What's important about, of course, HRSA.gov is it's where it reaches our public. And in many cases, we actually have access to critical systems, like especially for our grantees, technical assistance, getting to the system where they actually apply. That they get all of that through HRSA.gov. So it's a critical component of our reach out to the public and to our constituency.
Because a lot of people don't think of their website that way. So I think it's fascinating that you guys have put such a high priority on your public-facing site.
Yes, to kind of look at it as a portal to HRSA. Certainly there are ways to get direct access to the applications if necessary. But again, it's our face out there. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think our public affairs folks and working with us, we do a great job of making sure we get that reach out to our folks. So, but we also use the cloud for other things. So we employ the cloud to deliver our emergency notification messages, basically to COOP members, and we're going to be rolling that out to all employees. We think that is also critical because it's not just for, you know, we have to COOP, but it's for, you know, giving messages and communication out in case the building is shut down or, you know, power is out. So we're going to be using that for a lot of different things, and we buy that from the cloud as well. So software as a service.
You mentioned you guys are using a private cloud. Is it a private cloud that HRSA or HHS runs, or you buy in services from another federal agency? Can you give me any kind of background?
Well, we are partnering with our sister agency, NIH, and we're buying those services from a private cloud owner. So it works really well for us.
Oh, that's so important. I mean, there's so much push to go into the cloud that, you know, you guys have a good experience with someone in the private sector. I think that's a good sign. You also mentioned that the software as a service, and I think it's interesting too. Are you going to start looking at other areas to do software? You mentioned, for instance, you get your shared services already from NIH. I think you mentioned email is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you foresee maybe going to the cloud in some other areas?
Well, we actually have done some other things in the cloud. We utilize collaboration tools in the cloud, such as web meetings, where we, you know, instantly join our colleagues, our grantees, and our stakeholders from the desktop. And, this has been a real cost savings for us. So it's actually paid for itself probably three times over, because HRSA staff, basically, they host, you know, effective meetings, and so we reduce travel and logistical expenses, and we facilitate the sharing of desktop resources. So I would say that in 11, we saved over $500,000 just using this tool.
That is excellent news for everyone who's starting to move to the cloud, because I think there's a lot of questions about, is the cloud really going to save money, and if so, really how much? Is it 10 to 20%? Is it 30%? Is it just a few percentage points? Now, obviously, in this budget situation, I think anyone will say a little bit is better than nothing. So, but I think you have some good news there.
It has been a huge investment for us, and it's paid off, like I said, many times over, and it's grown by leaps and bounds. Last year, we couldn't keep enough licenses. We were constantly going out and getting more licenses. So it's a very good tool.
All right. Well, that's obviously good news. The other thing you guys have done some investments in, if you will, is a couple contracts, one to SRA for a National Practitioner Data Bank and one for SAIC for data systems. Can you just give us a kind of a brief overview of both of those awards?
Well, a major part of our mission, as I mentioned earlier, is about the delivery of healthcare services. Well, one of the goals is to ensure that those services are of high quality, delivered by skilled and trustworthy professionals. So the National Practitioner Data Bank meets that goal by basically it serves as a confidential information clearinghouse to protect the public from healthcare practitioners, providers, and suppliers with a history of malpractice or adverse actions and fraud and abuse. So in December, we awarded basically our fifth generation contract to SRA after a highly competitive process, and they're going to be providing us with all the services to maintain, enhance, manage, and operate the system. Well, we actually awarded, I think, two contracts to SAIC in FY11, and one of the awards was for the full cycle operations and maintenance and enhancement of our HRSA data warehouse, and we're pleased to have them as a partner. And I guess I have to just take a minute because I'm most proud of our HRSA data warehouse. It serves as the official repository of HRSA's data, and it provides innovative and high-quality, up-to-date source of online information and tools that are useful and accessible to the public. And we have a robust geospatial capability that assists us in delivering that integrated reporting, mapping, fact sheets, dashboards, widgets, gadgets. We're very proud of a mobile app, which is a Find a Health Center, and even web services. So I like to say it's for the broadest range of users for the greatest range of purposes. And folks can find our data warehouse at HRSA.gov, again, under Data and Statistics link. Additionally, SAIC, I think we just awarded a multi-vendor blanket purchase agreement to them. They're one of the vendors on that was awarded for a broad array of IT services to support the agency's grants performance reporting systems.
We're almost out of time, so before I let you go, let me talk a little bit about your background. How long have you been the CIO at HRSA? Where else have you worked in or out of government?
I'm sorry to say that I'm probably got a very boring thing to talk about. I have been the CIO here in HRSA for about 13 years. I've actually been with HRSA since its inception in 1982. So I've had the advantage and opportunity to be part of some of our program offices back when IT was more decentralized. As I mentioned earlier, I'm sort of, into the mission of this agency. So, and I have spent my entire more than 40 years of service in HHS. I began my career back in the early 70s at the National Institutes of Health, where I was an IBM 360, 370 mainframe COBOL programmer. So hopefully I think you can tell that I'm not only passionate about the mission of HRSA, but I'm proud to have dedicated my career to HHS and public service, and I think you can call me one of the HHS lifers.
Well, 13 years as CIO is incredible. Very few last between 3 and 4 years, so congratulations on that. And if you ever do retire, which I don't think you should yet, by the way, the COBOL programming background, you could have a career, a second career of doing that, I think, at some of the agencies that still use that old language.
Hey, let me tell you, back during Y2K, and I've been on the HHS CIO Council since way back then, there was a lot of call out there for COBOL programmers, and there was a part of me that thought, gee, maybe I should go look for, I should retire then.
The consultancy, you've always wanted to be a COBOL programmer.
I don't know, I'd have to really dust off some old stuff.
Well, very nice. I very much enjoyed this conversation. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My special guest today was longtime COBOL programmer Kathy Flickinger, who happens also be the Chief Information Officer of the Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration. Kathy, if I ever have a COBOL program, I'll call you. But otherwise, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview.
Yeah.
And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the DC National Guard, aired by the Maryland, DC, Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station. The Department of Defense faces some big changes in the coming years. I'm Federal News Radio's DoD reporter, Jared Serbin. We help you track those changes every Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 3 with On DoD. Each week, we'll talk one-on-one with defense experts and senior managers about the policies, programs, and innovations that affect warfighters and how the military will continue to meet its mission. That's On DoD, Wednesday afternoons at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.